It's time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and archiving on Hoovy.TV on this 4th of July weekend. I'm Mike Rickard, the hapless hack and the cool caddy, Oscar Garner III, the big O. He's Tampa Bay's celebrity caddy getting out there amongst you. And I said, cool caddy, you're not too cool right now, are you? You're over there dying out. It's only 11:07 and you're dying from the heat there, Michigan.
Sweating bullets out here.
Look at, we got a fan. We're perched right now in front of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. That's our 19th hole clubhouse studios. And I tell you what, we've done majority of the shows in the winter here. We've taken a couple of months off because of the baseball. But I thought, it's 4th of July weekend. I want everybody to see my celebrity that I have sitting across from me. He's a legend already. He's been here 5 months down here on Central Avenue. All the women know him, all the business establishments. So I thought maybe it'd be a good opportunity for you to sign a few autographs, you know, hand out some swag.
I'd love for this fame and clout to convert into something soon, but right now it's just free drinks at Ferg's. But hey, come down to Ferg's, drink with your favorite caddy sometime. We're celebrating the 4th of July weekend down in Ferg's.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk the entire world of golf today. We're going to talk PGA. There isn't a whole lot to talk about today, unfortunately. We'll talk PGA, John Deere Classic, near and dear to my heart, Silvis, Illinois, right across from Iowa. Spent many a John Deere Classic weekend there. We had a superb relationship with Claire Peterson, the tournament director that's retiring after this year, 20 years. He's done a superb job. And then we're gonna have to talk LIV. Champions has the week off. LPGA has the week off. There's nothing to talk about. It's like kind of like sports right now. There's not much to talk about in collegiate and high schools in the Sunshine State. And in case you didn't listen to the opening, it's On the Tee Florida. We were fortunate to secure that website on theteeflorida.com. We got a new logo being developed, and we're ready to rock and roll in the entire Sunshine State, which you got to admit is known for golf if you're from the northern states.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple other things to plug here. I mean, we got On the Tee Florida. We got a lot of content coming down. Go follow us on Instagram at tstp.sports. That's tstp.sports on Instagram. Look us up. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on Facebook. YouTube is coming soon. Watch out. Big O and the Axeman are going to have their thing going on. But, yeah, it's coming up. Come on now.
Well, I absolutely love what you're doing, and I appreciate it, young man. You're taking us places that I could never get us. I've got the old school figured out, and you're the new school. That's how you have success. Like I said, each and every week. But what we've been trying to do, and Oscar's done it several times, and actually I'm going to head over to Orlando for the Florida Sports Hall of Fame announcement on their induction for the 2022 class next Friday, and Saturday is their big golf tournament. And next year we will perch over there in Orlando or wherever the location is and do some interviews with the guys early. We'll archive it and throw it on the show. Okay, you have been to the Children's Miracle Fund. You were at that event. And they just, did you see? Well, yeah, of course, you posted it.
Yeah. If you guys check on the Facebook, you can see the check presentation. But what was it, $6,300 for that kid? Well,
remember he wanted to go to Alaska?
Yeah.
You wish you were his bag boy right now because you wouldn't mind that cool.
I would not mind that right now.
Let me carry those bags, young man. What's the temperature there? 50. I'm in.
I'm there.
You're a wimp when it comes to the heat. Why did you move here?
The girls, man. I had to follow my dream.
Yeah, well, you're living in the right place and you're working on weekends in the right spot with me and kicking butt at Raymond James right now. On the Tee, of course, is archived on Hoovy.TV weekly, and On the Tee Florida Golf Report can be found on our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection channel on Hoovy.TV. Let's recognize our broadcasting partners on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Of course, our flagship is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340 up in Tampa, Clearwater, and St. Pete. along with WZHR-FM 104.3 FM and WDCF AM 1350 Zephyr Hills and WZHR 102.3 FM and AM 1400. Why don't you go over the Defectors Tournament.
The Defectors Tour with its high level of production and whatnot.
Yeah, talk about that real quick. It's in Portland, Oregon. This is their first tournament in the States, and it hasn't been well received by the viewing audience on YouTube TV.
Did you watch the London one a few weeks back?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so we have no frame of reference for that. But Live Tour was in Portland this weekend. We got a chance to watch maybe 30 seconds of it upstairs.
I'd like to add those 30 seconds back.
I would love to exchange that for anything right now. But we got a chance to look at that. The production quality was not all that great. These team logos are cartoonish at best. But let's
looks like something my grandson Jackson would watch on Nickelodeon.
What was I telling you? The wild card game that Nickelodeon covers has better production quality than the Live Tour right now.
Horrible.
And what is this team format? We'll break it down more with Rieger down the road, but let's just go over the leaderboard. Players-wise, who we got up top? We got a tie for first between Dustin Johnson, Carlos Ortiz. Both are -8 going into round three, tie for first. Two shots off the lead, Brandon Grace. Three shots off the lead, Justin Harding. And then we got Brooks Koepka coming in, tied for fifth with Patrick Reed and C1.
Two prima donnas. I like to see them both fail.
-4 right there before I was cut off. And then Bryson DeChambeau at -3.
He's not a prima donna. He's just a weird cat. I'm glad he's gone, too.
Him and his train conductor's caps. But look.
What did you call him?
Him and his train conductor's caps. You never seen those?
Yeah, I've seen how
he dresses.
His attire.
Right.
He's a geek.
He is a geek.
He's a muscle-bound, went to SMU geek.
Big nerd. Big nerd energy.
Social idiot, actually, I would say.
No, actually. Team-wise, if you guys are familiar with the team structure, for those who aren't, and I don't blame you if you aren't familiar with the Live structure right now, we have the players, but they also have teams where they can win money in that way. Four Aces is up right now in first place. Dustin Johnson is the leader for that. Stinger, GC, Grace, I don't understand this, but Crushers has Harding and DeChambeau. Brooks,
what do you mean you don't understand? Crushers, you got DeChambeau on the team. He crushes the ball.
Yeah, that was
stupid.
That was so.
It sounds like roller derby team.
So innovative.
Sounds like roller derby. The Crushers against them.
Wait, is Brooks's brother on this thing?
Yeah, he defected first. He jumped across the wall in Berlin first.
His brother did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he went with.
And then Brooks went. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Interesting. Well, their team is not doing too hot. They're in seventh place right now, but Brooks is doing his thing.
All right. The John Deere Classic, as I said, in Silvis, Illinois. And next week, of course, is the British Open. It's the 150th British Open. Tiger Woods will be teeing it up, and the whole world will be watching in much in anticipation. John Rieger will break that down for us as well, because if there was ever a track he can walk, it's this. He's had success there, and it's flat. So we'll have John, the expert, do that about 11:35. JT Poston is in the lead over there at the John Deere Classic at 15 under. He's got a 4-stroke lead on Denny McCarthy. Matthias Schwab at 10 under. Christopher Gotterup. Not a whole lot of notables on this because, you know, some of them got stolen by the Live Tour. But the reality is a lot of preparation takes place before. These guys are already over in England and practicing the world's top 50 at least. And what Claire Peterson attempted to do back in the day, he wanted a bigger field. So he, out of little Quad Cities, Iowa, he would get a Learjet that would take all of the players the minute they get on the John Deere Classic on Sunday and their wives and get them over to Britain. And that increased his popularity with the PGA Tour and the players to get, you know, more money and more involvement. This is Zach Johnson's baby, basically. And we're going to talk to Mark Egli. Zach, of course, the 2023 Ryder Cup captain. He made a little bit news that his position on Liv and the players there. And actually, it wasn't Zach making the decision. I mean, Zach is the one who's the spokesperson for it. But we'll talk to Mark Egli, who knows a lot more about golf than I'll know him in my pinky finger. What's up, my friend?
Oh, it's just a beautiful 4th of July weekend Saturday here in Iowa.
Well, you've been over at the Quad Cities. Are you there today?
Yeah. I'm back home working because I can't get anybody else to work on a holiday weekend.
Well, of course you're working. You're the hardest working man in golf in all 50 states. Hey, how was it the first 2 days over there? Zach had it going on there for a little bit, and then I think he just gets pulled too many different ways when he's over there.
Yeah, but I saw him, and, the putts weren't dropping, the way that, that he can get that going sometimes. So, yeah, he is pretty involved these days with everything going on with the Deere Classic, the Ryder Cup, and everything else.
I don't think there's a better tournament director in terms of working with what he has than Claire Peterson. And I was blessed, those 12-some years up there in Iowa to have him come on. Claire Peterson is a superb guy.
Yeah, we had a long talk this week, and I didn't meet the new tournament director, but Claire is going into more of a player recruitment, player assistance, making sure they always have a strong field, and doing that in his retirement. And I met with, I had a nice visit with Zach Johnson's dad, Dr. Johnson, yesterday, and he told me all about the new director and his wife's a chiropractor. And, we just talked about from A to Z, everything going on with the John Deere Classic, and it's all good.
Well, I remember when Claire made that aggressive move and would put together the flight directly from the Quad Cities to England. So that more, and this he'll probably be going a lot more of that now again, so that a lot more of the world's top players would make that stop in the Quad Cities before the British Open, and that was a brilliant move.
Yeah, and Claire was a former employee of John Deere, and so with being able to talk to them about, hey, what do we do to make your tournament better, so they bought a jet so they could take those guys from here to there. And I bet they use it for other things too, but the players absolutely loved it. And I know guys like Jordan Spieth and other winners like that have benefited from that. I don't know if you remember, but Jordan won the tournament, and he was on the plane with Zach, and a few hours later headed to the British Open.
Well, there's been a lot of stories. Billy Horschel, I remember when Claire went on a limb for him, a lot of amateurs feel good stories that he's seen. He travels the country as the tournament director. Now he'll do it even more so. But he's assisted a lot of guys to get in their position on the tour by giving them a break to participate in the John Deere Classic.
Yes, he has. It'd take two hands to fill all the guys that I know that he's given that big chance to. I know he even gave one to one of my guys one time named Sean McCarty. So I know the personal touch of Claire Peterson really well.
Great human being. And he's a Green Bay Packer fan like myself.
I didn't know that, but that's all okay.
Hey, let's talk about our good friend Judd Gibb. Last week, the U.S. Senior Open. I love to see the guys like Judley getting an opportunity to participate, and I know you certainly do. The guys that are working so hard all year long, and they still get an opportunity, whether it's the PGA or the U.S. Open, to qualify. And he didn't make the cut, but what a thrill for him.
Very much so. And he just works hard at it. I've known him since his days at Iowa State, where he was doing golf camps with me, and he's just a super fantastic player and an even better dad and husband.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. So I went to a range. It doesn't hold a candle to yours, but it's home of the first tee of St. Petersburg down here, which we've gotten very involved in. I know how immersed you are in helping kids. And they had a mini canopy. It was on Father's Day. I was feeling sorry for myself because I didn't have the kids around. So I had the U.S. Open on, and on my phone, I'm listening into that, and I'm hitting some balls, how bad I am. And I'm just having the time of my life, and I thought, man, that Mark Yeagley up there in Iowa, and I've told you this every time you've been on, but if your facility down here would be an absolute home run And I see that you're just kicking butt and adding more things to it. You got lights now. You've got shot tracker. You got to be having a blast.
You know what? It was really something. The people from Top Tracer came out this week and said, "Mark, I know you're new, but we brought you a bunch of extra stuff, and we're happy as can be for you." He goes, "Of all the Top Tracer grass facilities around the world, there's more balls hitting between your Top Tracers than anywhere in the world." So it was I don't know if you call it good luck or good fortune or just good business, but it was a really good decision to put the Top Tracer in at my facility.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt. All right.
Let me ask you a question, Mike.
Fire away.
Did you read my Facebook today?
I haven't yet. I get down here early and get all set up. I read it most days, definitely.
Because I figured you hadn't because you didn't ask me about it.
Well, I'm going to ask you now.
My best player and best friend in the world is Sean McCarty. Tuesday, he pulls out of his driveway in the Lexus that they give you when you're playing a PGA Tour event. And out of 10 feet out of his driveway, a deer runs up and hits the car.
Oh, my God.
So what do you expect out of the John Deere Classic than getting hit by a deer on your way to the tournament?
Oh, my God. That's one for the ages, my friend.
And so then he calls me up in the middle of the day and says, you know, for your friends that don't know, that Sean McCarty owns the fastest club head speed ever in the history of the PGA Tour. And in 2018 at 46, he had, you know, CBS featured him as having the fastest club head speed on tour in 2018. And so he calls me later in the day. He goes, "God, the day keeps getting worse. I broke my driver shaft. I don't know what I'm going to do to replace it."
Oh, my God.
And so then we talked a couple more times during the day. And he calls me up late at night for the first time. And he goes, "You're not going to believe what happened. You know, one of the 10-week-old pups ran out and got into the fishing gear and bit a lure."
Oh, my.
And he goes, "I had to run out and catch it. It took a while to get him. And in the process of extracting it out of his mouth, he impales his thumb, his index finger, and his palm with a fishing lure. So his wife's having to take pliers out. He spends all day long Wednesday at doctors and, you know, going through the regimen because he's got a major injured right hand." So he's thinking, "How am I going to play?" He's got so much tape. He's got so much gauze on his hand that he can barely even use his right hand. So he goes out and he shoots 80. We get out yesterday and we're not going to not play because all the fans that come out to watch him, he starts off and he just plays great. And I start filming him on the 14th hole. He drives the green and makes a putt for eagle.
I'm doing an interview, so just help yourself.
God bless him.
He gets out there and he makes a putt for eagle. And so he goes on at 49 years old to go out, and I think it may be the lowest score anybody's ever shot on the PGA Tour. He shoots 29 on the last nine. And have you ever heard of anybody 49 years old shooting 29 on a
PGA
Tour, Mike?
Absolutely not. Not with fish hook wounds fresh. Oh, my God, Sean McCarty. What a great story.
You tell me a better fish story than that, and I'll sit there. I'll get you on Augusta National.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
And you know Sean really well, and you know how strong he is. And, you know, later today, you know, I came back home because I had to get home for this morning. And for some reason, I just started taping everything. And I've got the eagle and all six birdies that he makes coming in on tape. And I know your folks in Florida don't know Sean very well, but you talk about...
Profiles and courage.
Profiles and courage. And it's funny, on the other side, people don't know that he was a running back that ran for $2,000 or 2,000 yards a year for a while. And did you see USC and UCLA are joining the Big Ten?
Well, I'm sitting across from, you talked to him before, a Michigan State graduate, Oscar Garner III, and he he's the one that called me and broke the news to me. What do you think about it there, Spartan?
I think
Sean was recruited by USC, UCLA, and Iowa to play football. So, hey, I thought, God, he might be the first guy that can be a dual sport guy where you play half the year at football at USC or UCLA and come back and play golf for half a year at Iowa.
Turn this one
Throw that one into the NCAA's juggernaut here.
You know what I thought was funny?
I think it's a good thing.
You know what I thought was
coast
funny?
Coast-to-coast talent. And I always like USC, UCLA. You got to like the years that Bill Walton and Lou Alcindor did the great things they did for John Wooden. So, it's fun.
Well, let me run
something positive in sports when we got people arguing about other stupid crap.
Well, let me run this by you. What are your thoughts on this? When you have the Rose Bowl and UCLA is in the Rose Bowl, they're going to be going as the Big
Ten. Still there, Mike?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oscar was asking what you think about the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, if they go to the Rose Bowl, they're going to be the Big Ten team.
Yeah, it'd be kind of weird having two Big Ten teams in the thing. Like, how are they going to figure that one out?
I don't know.
But when you got these top, you know, the college football, the FBS, and all that other stuff, they'll be able to figure it out.
All right, my friend. Well. So, you have a wonderful 4th of July. I love that Sean McCarty story. I'm gonna share it on my site as well. How's that? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's on my Facebook right now. You can see them making the putt for 29.
All right, brother.
And that just doesn't happen very often.
That's an amazing story. PGA should pick. Golf Channel needs to pick it up.
Yeah, I you'll see my post on Facebook. I asked Claire and Rick Brown, is this the first time anybody that old has ever shot 29? And it's kind of nice having videotape evidence, too.
Wonderful. All right, my friend. We'll post it all over our social media, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Bye.
That's Mark Kegley. He's the most accomplished, by far, instructor in the state of Iowa, in the Midwest, I would say. So what were you going to rant and rave about while I get a hold of Jim King and Craig Bowman from Bayou Club?
I was really thinking about all the implications. A1, the Pac-12 is dead. Oregon's going to have to figure something out. Ute's got to figure something out.
They're talking about the Pac-12 picking up Iowa State. I can't stand
that's,
it.
What, you're going to pick up Iowa State and Boise, so now I can watch Oregon at Boise? What is that? Like, they're done.
Those are Saturday nights. You're out partying anyway. You're 23 years old.
I was here watching those games. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to do a plug for FERC. All right. And I'm sorry, Mr. Bowman, that we're running a little late. We had a good friend of mine who was a teaching pro up in Iowa who was at the John Deere Classic and had a wonderful story to share with me. He's Craig Bowman, and he's kind enough to take a little time out on this 4th of July, which I know is a busy time at the Bayou Club. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. I wish I had met you previously, but I'll come up and visit. The bizarre circumstances of how I met you, it was a game day down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Jim King was sitting there relaxing before he goes out and across the street to the Trop, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, this guy's in golf, and that's how I met Jim King, and he gave me your name, so here we are. Give my audience a little history on your golf career, how you ended up at Bayou, and let's go from there first.
I'm originally from St. Louis. I moved down here in 1995. I was here for a few years and got into the golf business, ironically enough, at the Bayou Club. I started out as a cart guy, as many of us have started out. Moved back to St. Louis in 1998. I was there for about 15, 17 years until I decided I got tired of shoveling snow in the wintertime. And 5 years ago, my family and I moved back down here. And I just started at the Bayou Club again as the director of instruction in April. So I'm really excited to be back here and help people enjoy the game better.
Well, I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, so I made the same. We're brilliant. We both made brilliant moves. Mine was 7 years ago. The young man across from me is from Michigan, and he made his move 5 months ago. So three very wise Midwesterners now enjoying paradise. And it is paradise. Bayou is a super track. Talk about a little bit about Bayou Club.
Yeah, so the Bayou Club, I'm not sure if you know the origin, but it's part of the Bardmore complex. And many years ago, back in the late 80s, they had 72 holes of golf. They condensed it down. They kept 18 holes for Bardmore North, which is still the Bardmore course. For many years, it hosted the JCPenney Classic. And then they brought in Tom Fazio to design the new holes for the Bayou Club, and they kept 6 of the original holes from the other 54 that went away for the housing development. Mr. Fazio did a great job. It's a great layout. The golf course is really starting to get into really good shape right now. It's just a phenomenal track. It's probably one of the best in Pinellas County.
Well, I had, and you might have met him, Dominic Albanese. He brought the Bay Area. It was a fun for the baseball kids. A couple of Mondays ago, Michael Jones came up. Were you working that?
Yes, I was there that day.
Yeah,
I'm more on the teaching. I'm basically strictly on the teaching side, so I don't have as much to do with the operation in the past. I do remember that event being out there.
Well, when people want to, now the Bayou Club, is it private or is it open to public?
The Bayou Club is private. Bardmore is our public golf course.
That's what I thought.
Both courses are owned by Four Golf, and the Bardmore is it's another phenomenal track. They are busy all the time. But it's another really challenging layout, and the Bayou Club is the private club in the complex.
Yeah, I've got some friends that live on the Bardmore. Can't remember what hole, but I'll tell you what, I enjoy the driving range, so I come up there. I have not played the track yet, but I need to get up there. Maybe we'll come visit you, and I won't hack it up too much. But I want to go back to your start. You were a kart jockey, and I was a part-time kart jockey about 6 years ago, five years ago. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, retired, and I wanted the free golf. I was at St. Pete Country Club. Anybody that's a kart jockey, people don't realize how damn hard you work, do they?
No, it's really, it was, like I said, it was my first taste of golf. I was, when I moved here, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I came down here, I happened to answer an ad in the newspaper. That's how long ago it was. It was still in the newspaper. And when I walked into the Bayou Club, I met Doug Brown, who's our head professional director of golf. Also met Brad Stevens at the time. It turned out he and I were from the same small town in Illinois and didn't know it. They got me into the business. What I loved about it was just being at the golf course every day. I mean, it's hard to have a bad day when you're at the golf course. They put in a lot of hours as a kart guy. It's a lot of work. But I think for other PGA professionals like myself who started out there, it gives us a much better experience, and it gives us a much better viewpoint on what goes into that job, so that we are in a position as the head professional or the director of golf, we know all aspects of our operation. So,
well, and appreciation for the people, slugs like me, that come in that don't know what they're doing. You might be a little bit more patient and understanding on a day like today when the humidity's high and you're sweating your off.
I totally agree. That was one thing, and throughout my career, I've worked for many different bosses that had different viewpoints. And one thing I always try to remember is that, hey, I was in their shoes a long time ago, so I know how hard it is. I know how little appreciation you get because the card attendants are always they're the first people that everybody sees, and they're the last people that everybody sees. So if there's a bad experience, you're getting it on both ends. So you have to have a lot of patience, a lot of thick skin, and really a good understanding of it's how you learn how to deal with people. And it's an invaluable skill that I've had to learn over the years.
Well, we picked up a lot of numbers of people participating in golf during the COVID era. How are the numbers up there at the Bayou Club, even in these troubling economic times?
Our membership is really growing right now, just like everybody else's is. We talk about it all the time, that if you're in the golf industry right now and you're not doing well, then there's something wrong with your operation, because there are so many people coming back to the game, which is phenomenal. We love to see it. We love to see the ladies playing, the kids playing. people that have never played golf before are starting to get into it. So it's really boosted our membership. It's boosted just the participation at the club. It's just great to see it.
Well, my friend, I have one last question for you. Cubs or Cards?
Oh, Cardinals all the way.
Well, this conversation's over.
I'm from a small town outside of St. Louis in Illinois, but from the time I was a kid, baseball is my first love, so it's always been Cardinals. I have a very dear friend of mine who's a Cubs fan, and we go for stretches where we don't talk, depending on how the games play out. But it's a great rivalry, and if you've ever had the pleasure of being to a game either at Busch or at Wrigley, Cardinals Cubs series, there's nothing like it.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I used to work for the Cubs organization. I've been to both the old and the new stadium, of course, in St. Louis, and just of late, and then, of course, many, many, many trips to Wrigley. Well, you answered everything else correctly except for the last one, but come on down to Ferg's. Come on down to Ferg's the next time Cubs Cards play, and I'll buy you a couple beverages, and we'll have some fun.
Sounds great. And you come up and see us at the Bayou Club sometime so we can get you out on the golf course and you can experience it for yourself.
Sounds great, Craig. And we'll do some promos for you guys. I certainly appreciate it. Have a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you sometime down the road.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. Craig Bowman, and I like to see guys that start in those positions because they respect you. They appreciate it. Even caddies like you, they respect it.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. What you know about that? You don't know nothing about that.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that. All right, I got to take care of a little business, and we'll get John Rieger on.
We got to pay the bills,
and thanks to our newest supporter and partner and my Iowa friend. I think Barbie's coming down today. Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grosenheider, she's with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, and, of course, her knowledge. She grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb, her energy and bubbly personality, and it's sincere. She is true and blue Midwesterner. She takes the stress out of the challenge of home buying, and it's gotten stressful. I assure you, I recommend her to my friend. In fact, my sister's going to give her a couple of these when she gets back from her trip, and look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. She just had a close the week before last. Congratulations, Barbie. Reach out to Barb with Champa Bay today at barbwithchampabay@gmail.com. Or call her at 712-540-3704. That's 712-540-3704. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. And we talked to him last week. Joe Shaw gave you a little insight on what he's doing. And on the tee, Florida, welcome to him. You'll be hearing a lot more from these guys. And I've got, it should be arriving, email. Two super, a lot of fun spots that are being voiced for these guys. You'll hear a lot more from our newest partner, and that's Joe Shaw, IMG Integrity Mortgage Group. I like to say this because we're a sports show. It's not IMG Academy. In this crazy market we're dealing with, Joe Shaw will navigate you for your sincere, upfront honesty to ensure you make the right decision at the right rate. And the rates are varied right now. Conventional VA, USDA, FHA. Joe a call today, 813-947-3705. That's 813-947-3705. And I tell you what, he's a Coast Guard vet. He's just one of those down-to-earth guys that I love interacting with. And NMLS 221-5300. That's NMLS 221-5300. You work directly with Joe. I bet he's working this weekend, 7 days a week. Even if Joe's not your first call, he'll be your last. That's Joe Shaw, and that's Integrity Mortgage Group. And now, what do you think, Card Jockey?
What do you think? We call Rieger? You think we dial him up and see what he has to say about this live? Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to break this down.
You are diving into that a little bit more.
I am. I didn't care at first, but now, is this the pathway? You act like you don't care. You talk mess about it.
Watch your mouth.
Hey, I said mess. You talk mess about it, and then now you care. Now I'm a fan, right?
I got my brain. No fans. This reminds me of the USFL, their first go around, watching it.
Well, look what they're doing now. Do not spell.
Well, let's get the expert himself on it. It's the John Rieger Report from Crescent Beach, Florida, on this 4th of July weekend on On the Tee, Florida. How are you, my friend?
I am absolutely doing fantastic, and this is Truth in Advertising. I am sitting on Crescent Beach right now with my good buddy, Dr. Bill Thoreau.
How you doing?
And we're getting ready to, this is eating into our happy hour, so we have to make sure we get this show done properly and get our listeners sent off for a great Saturday afternoon watching the John Deere Classic, and then we can move on and maybe catch a fish.
Hey, one quick second, and I'll let you take over. You must hit it pretty hard that you got to take a doctor with you when you go partying.
Well, you know, I have an entourage, you know. I mean, you know, I have, it takes about six or eight people. Plus, I've got that person that does my walk-in music. So, you know, I still use a boombox from 1984 that you saw on the movie Airplane.
This is the John Rigger team getting ready for a 4th of July weekend. Brings a doctor in, somebody to stretch him. He's got a audio guy. All right, my man, let's talk golf for a while.
Hey, you know, I just heard your interview with Craig Bowman up in Iowa. And what a great interview that was. And he dropped the name of Brian Clare. Do you know Brian Clare?
No, Clare Peterson.
Oh, Clare, never mind then.
Clare Peterson.
I'll save my Brian Clare stories for another time.
Okay, you've been into the Coronas already. Let's go back. Mark Egli was the Iowa guy, my buddy up there. I think your paths have crossed. Mark Egli. And he was at the John Deere Classic. Come south to Florida, Craig Bowman is at the Bayou Club. Now you're caught up.
That's fantastic. Okay, you know, it's hard to get my Iowa bearings here, and you're the gatekeeper for Iowa there, Mike.
All right, brother. So the rest of the conversation is in your corner over there on Crescent Beach, and LIV has to be a topic.
Well, you know, it seems to be a topic every week, and last week they had some more defectors, Abraham Anser and Carlos Ortiz, who is tied for the lead going into the final round here with Dustin Johnson, and also several others, jump ship, Matthew Wolf. But the big question is, I've been searching for this answer all along. Maybe our listeners can send you an email or try to figure out what's going on, but I believe the first event they had over in London, they had 48 players, and I understand that this tour is limited to 48 spots. And so with the advent of the new players jumping on and several more to come, you know, what happens to that poor soul who is a 48th player on that tour? Where do they go? They're banned from everywhere. I don't know if you've heard this or not.
I haven't heard anything regarding that, but that's interesting. They probably keep them on the payroll because they got so much jack and say, listen, even if you were playing, you wouldn't make this kind of money, because there's a lot of no-names on that. That 48, and so they bump them, sit them on, ride pine, practice your game, chase women, enjoy wine, whatever. But I guarantee they must keep them on the payroll.
How do I sign up for that?
Yeah, Doc wants to know how he signs up for that. Well, I'm going to tell you that he's going to be right behind me in line. I can tell you that right now. And I'm probably behind about a couple hundred. You know, it's funny when you talk about chase women, drink wine, you know, have a cigar, this, that, and the other, to get paid not to play. That sounds like the average mini tour player today. You know, it's about 99% of them never make it to the PGA Tour, but they still engage in all those activities, and maybe a reason why they never do get to the PGA Tour, but it sounds like a glamorous lifestyle when you're young.
Hey, life's for a living. And there might be somebody that I talk to on a weekly basis that may know a little bit about that.
Hey, this live golf, it's interesting. You know, there's... You know, again, it's the same old story every week. They're coming out about the moral issues. They neglect their relationship with China and the players' relationship. These golf companies that do business in China and these sponsors, Greg Norman reported, and I couldn't find the exact information about the 23 specific sponsors. I was trying to do a little investigative journalism and try to figure out who these 23 companies that Greg Norman says are sponsors on the PGA Tour that do business in Saudi Arabia. I don't doubt his word on it, but I haven't really verified any of them. And again, it's interesting in the world, you know, with the world of Google trying to research things. There's just things you're just not going to see on their browser, so I might have to go and find some different search engines to find that. Or, you know, I've given some people calls around the country, some folks that I've knew from the media business from years past, and you know, they're at a loss, too, trying to figure out if that was made up or if that's real. But, you know, what's going to happen down the road is I think you're going to have the litigation come down the pike. you know, the PGA Tour is a nonprofit. That's the way they've set things up. And all of a sudden, they found $160 million next year to play for in eight tournaments with the top 50 or 70 players that they're going to be rewarded by this money. So as a nonprofit, okay, that's great. You know, I mean, I understand nonprofits, but nonprofits aren't in the business to make a profit. And, you know, the players that have abandoned the PGA Tour for the LIV Golf Tour have a point. And it's about money. You know, I think that it's sad because there is some prestige involved with the major championships and things like that. It seems like the five families, which is the RNA, the Masters, the USGA, the PGA, and the PGA Tour, we call them the five families out there. That was a term coined by Jeff Shackelford, who's one of the top bloggers out there in golf, top golf writers. And he's got a blog called The Quadrennial. You can Google Jeff Shackelford out there, and he really has some insightful things to say, not from getting you mad about reading his articles, but some insightful things as far as looking into why things are out there. And so when I look at that, and I look at Jeff, you know, some of the comments he has to make, you know, you're looking at this big 900-pound gorilla in the room. Okay, what's going to happen when the first lawsuit comes here? Because it's kind of an antitrust issue. You can't be in golf, an independent contractor, and yet be an employee. And you can see where different companies recently have gotten in trouble with that. Uber, you know, those, you know, they had independent contractors, yet you're employed. A lot of confusion out there. So for our listeners out there, this is boring stuff, you know, the business of golf. But it is titillating, it's titillating, and it is political, and it is unnecessarily part of the fabric now of golf. And, you know, not only just worrying about, you know, who's going to win the John Deere tournament this year. It looks like J.D. Poston's got a big lead on that right now. We'll see how it hangs up over the weekend. But just everything's political now. So LIV Golf, yeah, there's some pluses and minuses. And but the sad part is the way that the five families are treating the LIV Golf. I just saw where the PGA Tour improved their, not improved, but increased their investment in the DP European Tour to 40% from 15%. So everybody's drawing lines there. And I think the next thing you'll see is they're going to go after women's golf. And I think women's golf's much more vulnerable. They're playing for a lot more money now, but they're much more vulnerable. But, you know, you just kind of, it's kind of like, okay, you have the Masters next year, and you have six Master champions aren't playing, you know, and they could be playing. So when you start looking at all that, we'll see what happens. And it is about the money. But any questions you have, Mike, about LIV Golf, I mean, that you've been keeping your ear to the rail on?
To tell you the truth, let's move on to the John Deere Classic, because that's right on the border of my home state, Iowa, in Silvis, Illinois, on the Mississippi. Been there many, many times, did a lot of live shows from there. And the Claire Pearson we're talking about, one of the unfortunate things about that stop, John, was that it's always the week before the British Open. So John Deere Corporate wants a great event. They eventually went and got themselves a Learjet that could accommodate all these players and their wives, and that was effective. Not so much this year. It's kind of a soft field, and a lot of that probably has to do with LIV. But let's talk about next week, and Tiger Woods, of course, the whole world's talking about it. He's going to play in a Pro-Am early in the week. They're going to televise that. And then, of course, your feelings were this is the track where he can walk it and probably can make the cut. Is that correct?
Oh, I have no doubt he's going to make the cut. You know, I mean, I've thrown this out there, and I'm probably, this is pure anecdotal, this is pure instinct on my part, but I just suspect that Tiger knows that his physical limitations at this particular point to be able to really play at a top level and to contend and not embarrass himself based on his standards. You know, I haven't been embarrassed by Tiger Woods' play at all. It was fantastic that he played so well in the Masters. Fantastic he played and made the cut in the PGA Championship. But it was sad that he had to withdraw because he realized he just physically can't do it. He's not Superman. I suspect, and I don't know, this is anecdotal, and I hope I'm wrong, but this might be his last, he might retire right there. He might go to that bridge on the Swillican Burn and just go ahead and call it quit and raise his hand and his hat, and there'll be 1,000 photographers there, and it'll be the next best silent auction item you could possibly buy at a charity golf event. I think he, you know, he might play ceremonial golf, but I think he'll just say, hey, listen, I'm retired from, you know, real professional golf. You know, he'll play exhibitions and fun things like that, but I just don't think you're not going to see him. He's going to declare that he's calling it a career.
You're listening to On the Tee, Florida, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. He's John Rieger, the weekly Rieger Report. And, you know, 99% of the time, everything that comes out of your mouth, I am very impressed with. I hope that you're so far wrong on that particular statement, but I see some merit in it, John.
Well, again, I just look at it, but hey, I'm looking forward to a great Open Championship again. It's you know, the home of golf. I mean, St. Andrews. I've had the good fortune of being over there and playing some tournaments over there, and can tell you that it's a special feeling when you get there. It really is. You know, you just and the golf course itself changes from day to day. I remember the first round of this tournament we played, and it was late September, and we got up there, and the first hole I had to hit like a 5-iron off the tee, and it was like, it was fairly warm, and I didn't want to hit it in the little berm in front of the green there, the famous, you know, Swilligan berm that runs through the golf course there, and you know, I had to hit a little flip wedge on the green. It was great, you know, so the golf course played pretty easy. And, you know, when I say easy, you got to be careful when you say that about the old course, because the next day it showed up, it was like 45 degrees and the wind's blowing hard and I'm hitting driver and then I have a long iron into the green over the berm. Okay, so that's how that golf course can change just in one day. It can change from morning to afternoon. So the wind is really important at the old course for the Open Championship. That's the defense of the golf course. I mean, they've lengthened it. They don't really, you know, they grow the rough up off the sides of the golf course. I mean, the greens are incredibly fast and all the different things that go into it. But if there's no wind and it's fairly warm, you know, people are going to go low. But it never does that for 4 days at the Open Championship. And for our listeners out there, too, if you ever get the chance to go to Scotland and go to St. Andrews, if you show up on a Sunday, the golf course is closed. It's a park. First time I went there, you know, we wanted to play a practice round for the tournament, for an upcoming tournament, went for the following week. We got there on a Sunday, and we went up there, golf course is closed. And we're like, what happened? And they close the golf course every Sunday. The only time the golf course is ever open on a Sunday is when they're hosting the Open Championship. So, we walked out on the golf course. There's dogs running all over there. There's kids making sand angels in the road hole bunker. And
it's a park?
It's just a park on Sundays. Yes, it's always been that way, except for the Open Championship on Sunday. And so, but also, it's such a down-to-earth place, too. You get on that first tee. I remember our practice round on the first tee. No practice swings allowed on the first tee. Don't even take a practice swing anywhere. Okay, just not allowed to. The only time you're allowed on the first tee is you go up there and hit the ball. And also, just because you're a pro doesn't mean you play for free. You get there, and it doesn't matter, you know, who you are. You know, you have to pay your practice round fee to the, you know, to the St. Andrews Trust. You know, they collect those practice round fees. Now, I'm sure today now the European Tour or the RNA or somebody pays those fees when Tiger Woods shows up. He doesn't have to shuck out like $50 to go play or something. But that's the way it is there. So it's the home of golf, wonderful place. Old Tom Morrison's golf shop's right off to the side. St. Andrews University's in that town. You've got Bobby Jones, who's an honorary degree holder from there. Fantastic place. You know, for a while there, women were not allowed in the clubhouse at the clubhouse right behind the green. And a good friend of mine, she's deceased now. She won a ladies major, Colleen Walker. She has Tampa Bay ties. She's lived in Tampa Bay most of her life, and she passed away from cancer a few years back. So she went over there to play, and she's one of those salt-of-the-earth people. Well, she snuck into the clubhouse and got snuck in there and got her picture taken in the clubhouse. So hats off to Colleen. Now they've opened it up to women or so, but that was kind of a cool thing back then. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, Colleen, if they caught you doing that, you'd probably get deported. She goes, I know, but it'd be worth it.
Hey, question for you. Favorite pub over there where you had a pint or 10?
Favorite pub, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't remember.
Well, that must have been a damn good pub.
Oh, there's a lot of great pubs. You know, for our listeners out there, if you're just out there, let's say you just want to go over there to Scotland and play a little golf, okay? You know, get some golf buddies, all right? Rent a station wagon, okay? Make sure you have the proper
station wagon. You're showing your age. Rent a station wagon.
Well, I guess, yeah, they still have those in the, you have to rush reruns of the Griswold Family and National Lampoon's Summer Vacation or something like that. But if you, but we call them a station wagon. You can call them an SUV now. How's that?
Okay.
But you get one person that knows how to drive on the wrong side of the road, not hit all the curbs. And what you do is you stop at bed and breakfasts, and they're littered all over the countryside. And these little bed and breakfasts, they're not even breakfasts. They're bed and bar. So you go in there, and they might have four bedrooms, and downstairs there's a bar that holds 10 people. And the locals, that's where they holiday. That's where they take their vacations. They go in these little places. So if you go down there and you have a few beverages at night, they'll tell you where all the great golf courses are to play that don't cost very much. Because you think about it. Let's say you're coming from Scotland or England or Ireland, you know, coming over to the United States. You only hear about TPC Sawgrass or Doral or Pinehurst. You only hear the great courses. But you don't hear some of the great local golf courses that are available to play that are relatively inexpensive.
That's like,
and so they
yeah.
went, well, we had no plans. We had no travel agent. We just, you know, we got the station wagon now that we call the SUV. Thank you for showing my age. And get our golf bags and we'd just go hop every town. We say, what's the next town to go to? And they would tell us where to go, you know, and we'd find a place to stay. So it's a romantic way to see it in a way, not from being with four guys with golf clubs and drinking every night.
History.
But a romantic way is just like, hey, you know what? It's kind of cool. You just never know what you're going to expect. And we've been to some golf courses. You show up, you just put your money in a mailbox, and you go play.
My kind of trip, and I'm sure many kinds of dark beer were consumed.
Hey, one time we ended up north of Dornoch, and there's this little town called Ray. You know, locals sent us there, and we were in this bar one night. There's a flu epidemic in town, and they have their annual Ryder Cup, and these two small towns play each other. And they found, you know, and four of us, we're all golf pros as we're traveling around, and they found out we're golf pros, and it's like, hey, listen, we need you on our team, because our town had a flu epidemic, and, you know, we're players short. So the four of us joined their team. So they said, meet us down here at the bar, 7:30, and then we'll go on to the golf course. So we get down there. We're thinking eggs and bacon or whatever, the lox or whatever they're going to serve us. No, they're drinking warm lager at 7:30 in the morning. And you all walk in this tournament. There are no golf carts. And they're all stuffing bottles of warm lager in their golf bags. And it's 45 degrees. The wind's blowing, you know. We got our rain jackets on. You know, we got all the rain gear, this, that, and the other. These people, they're wearing short sleeve shirts. We're walking down the beer, just, you know, walking down the fairway, just chugging these warm lagers. And we just absolutely got killed, okay? Each one of us lost our match. And the townspeople were suspecting we weren't pros. Well, we found out that the four people that we played on the other team, they all were former European tour players. You know, they all owned businesses in town or, you know, retired from it and stuff like that. So we didn't realize they're trying to take on the European tour. We just thought we're taking on a bunch of local yokels drinking warm lager with short sleeve shirts. Little did we know, but we got off the golf course faster so we could get in the warmth inside to keep drinking warm lager.
Well, I'm winding down right now. Do not drink warm beer on Crescent Beach over the holiday. Make sure you got plenty of ice. Tell Doc hello. Look forward to his commentary every week now. And have a happy 4th of July, my friend.
Hey, that's fantastic. Can't wait to talk to you next week about the Open Championship. And for our listeners out there, just remember, it comes on like in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because of the time change. So go ahead and tune in early.
All right. That's John Rieger. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida as we share the great game of golf every Saturday. And certainly stay tuned for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network next. God bless you. God bless America. Have a safe 4th of July. Keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.